Wow, this is different, isn't it? Nah, not really. Actually, there's something I need to do. I did this specially for you, Barry. I brought a walking stick. But mine's bigger. Mine's bigger. You said you wanted a staff. I got one. This came from Stansted Airport, by the way. It's a legacy of my working for Harlow Food Bank, and it was one of the things that they took off somebody from going when they were going on a plane, and it sort of ended up at the warehouse, and I've ended up with it. Do you know what? There is something special for me here today, and I mean, I'm blown away by what God has done, and I want to give testimony this morning. About 21 years ago, I stood, not on a platform, but I stood in front of a lectern and I preached and I had a stick and I wanted to bring the stick that I used, which I couldn't find. It was my father's. It was carved. It's out of iron wood. It's a really unusual stick. And I was there leaning on this thing and I was preaching because I was really ill with ME. I'd been preaching in the church for several weeks. And each time I'd prepared my sermon during the week, I'd got my sermon all sorted out. And then I would sit there during the worship and I'd look at my notes and I'd have no idea what I was going to say. I'd look at the notes and they wouldn't mean a thing. My head was just so fogged, so gone. I would stand up, I would read the first paragraph, and the Holy Spirit would come and I preached. And God did that week after week for a number of weeks. And it got to the point where I felt, I can't keep doing this, Lord. This is like presuming on you to turn up. And actually, the group of churches that we were part of, they also stepped in and they said, no, you're too ill, you need to step down. And that was the point at which I stepped back from leading. That was 21 years ago. And this stick, really, I'm standing on this platform. This stick is a symbol of God's restoration in my life. And so I know it's a bit bigger than yours, Barry, but I did want to put one the same size as yours. So I'll just say that right now. And okay, I'm sorry as well that I stole your parking space this morning. But that's how it rolls, mate. That's how it rolls. A couple of years later, I can remember I was praying. We were going to the church that that we'd been placed in for me to sort of recover. And I can remember where I was. I was in the prayer room, which was one, it was in a cinema, and it was one of the little spaces in the back of the cinema. And I was in there, and I was talking to God, and I was saying, Father, look, this is all gone. I'm never going to preach again. I'm never going to be able to lead church again. I'm never going to be used in this way again. And I was just praying and praying and praying. And then I just said to the Lord, because I just felt the Lord saying, it's okay, David. And I just turned to the Lord in my heart and I said, Father, if you're taking this away, that's fine. By me, that's okay. I give it up. I let it go. I let the whole lot go, Lord. There's only one thing that I ask, that I will, whatever I do, I will be fulfilled and I will be serving you. And that must have been about 19 years ago. And today I stand on this platform as a testimony to God's restoration. I stand here able to do this again. And do you know what? It's been a journey. I'm not going to go into it. It's been a real journey. God's healing. But it's been about people coming into my life. It's about God taking people and putting them alongside me and then using them, using through the Holy Spirit, using them to bring healing and restoration into my life. And I still remember I started working at MRCT right back, I mean, what, six years ago or a bit around about that. And we had a prayer meeting in Lock and Store where we were doing all the work and Barry turned up. And I still remember today, I looked at Barry across like that, he was sort of the other side of this table we were standing. And the Lord just said, you've got to have a coffee with that man. And I went over and I chatted to him and you said something very, very similar to me. And we just met up. And it's amazing. You know, it's amazing what God does. So today is, for me, a very special day. For us, Sharon and I, it's a very special day. It's the beginning of a new adventure, a new stepping into something new in God. God's got new plans. Do you know what? It's a big day for Barry and Louise. They're stepping into a new adventure. It's an even bigger day for Barry and me working together. We're stepping into a new adventure together. Nothing changes, really, because we're a team. I want to say this to you, Harefield. You are blessed. I've been in a lot of churches in my life, and this one, there is something special. There is a love amongst you and towards those around you, but there is also a love and respect within the leadership, which is like gold. And it is an absolute pleasure to be part of that leadership team. And I just pray that God keeps that. Yes, we have our moments when we argue and we get upset with each other because we're human beings. But we are men who are being driven by the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives to see the presence and the purposes of God done in this place. And my role change with Barry is not about God changing things. It's about God taking things on in the purposes that he's already ordained. And that is, I think, absolutely amazing. And I want this morning, as we come back to the next part of our series, God's Reboot, I want to come back to restoration. Restoration is what it's about. We were singing about it in that song. It's part of God's heart. And I want to come back to it. So I want us to read this passage. Now the words are going to go up there, but I'm going to be reading it in the version I've got, which is the New Living Translation. So if there's minor differences, just see the differences. I always say this, if you're reading it in a slightly different translation to what I'm reading it, don't see that as a problem. See that as it's like shining a different light on it. It's like looking at it from a slightly different angle. It's like hearing the words in a slightly different way, because so often I've sat there when other people have been reading it out in a different version and God's highlighted something in it because I see it's in a slightly different word and it makes me think. So I want to encourage you to do that. But let me just read this to you. Zechariah 3, and it's the whole of the chapter. It's 10 verses, so it's not that long. Then the angel showed me Jeshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. The accuser, Satan, was there at the angel's right hand, making accusation against Jeshua. And the Lord said to Satan, "I, the Lord, reject your accusation, Satan. Yes, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebukes you. This man is like a burning stick that has been snatched from the fire." Jeshua's clothing was filthy as he stood before the angel. So the angel said to the others standing there, "Take off those filthy clothes." And turning to Jeshua, he said, "See, I have taken away your sins, and now I am giving you these fine new clothes." And then I said, "They should also put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean priestly turban on his head and dressed him in new clothes, while the angel of the Lord stood by. Then the angel of the Lord spoke very solemnly to Jeshua and said, "This is what the Lord of heaven's armies says. If you follow my ways and carefully serve me, then you will be given authority over my temple and its courtyards. And I will walk amongst and I will let you walk amongst those others standing here. Listen to me, O Jeshua, the high priest, and all you priests. You are symbols of things to come. Soon I'm going to bring my servant, the branch. Now look at the jewel I've set before you, Jeshua, a single stone with seven facets. I will engrave an inscription on it, says the Lord of heaven's armies. And I will remove the sins of this land in a single day. And on that day, says the Lord of heaven's armies, each of you will invite your neighbor to sit with you peacefully under your own grapevine and fig tree." Here we have an absolutely amazing picture of God's restoration. What we see here is God speaking to the high priest of Israel and therefore speaking to Israel and saying, "I'm going to restore you. I am restoring you." And it comes as an act. We see God himself The angels putting the robe on, taking the old, the dirty robe off, putting the new robe on, giving him the turban and everything. I just wanted, there's just a couple of bits to look at quickly before we move on into some thoughts on some of these passages. I'm not going to cover the whole verse extensively. The more I've read this, I mean, Barry said he's been really enjoying it. I love this chapter. It's glorious because it's like those masters. You know, have you watched those programs on the television where they're painting? They do painting stuff, and then afterwards they sort of criticize the thing and they look at it. Well, there was one on the other night, and they got some amateur artists, and this person had painted. An elephant, I think it was, and she'd painted this elephant, a big elephant, but she spent a lot of time painting in the eyelashes. And the guy who criticized it, or rather was critiquing it, looked at it and he said, "This is amazing. I really like this picture." And then he got a bit closer and he said, "Oh, look at that." And then he got a bit closer and he said, "Oh, look, you can see the eyelashes." You know, this scripture is a bit like that. The closer you get to it, the more pops out of it. And there's some lovely little gems in there. So I can't cover them all. And like I always say, I'll say, go and have a read it for it yourself. Ask God to show you stuff. Because God's alive. The Holy Spirit is here amongst us as church. And what he wants for you to do is to go away, to be inspired by what you hear on a Sunday here. And then read it for yourself, and God to drop little gems into your life as you read stuff through. So go and read it. But what we see here is that not only was Zechariah prophesying at this time, but also we've got Haggai. We've got two prophets that are speaking at roughly the same time, about 520 BC, and it was in the years after Israel was returning from Babylon. So after their exile, after the whole thing with Daniel and all that sort of stuff is happening, and they're heading back, and then these two guys are prophesying over Israel because God needs to speak to the nation. And I read this, one of the commentators said this, and I thought it's really interesting. Again, I think it shows the heart of God. He says, if all we had was Haggai to go by, we might conclude that all God was really interested in was the temple. Zechariah gives us more of the story and shows how God is interested in the lives of the people, not just the buildings. And it just struck me. It is a book of encouragement. But Zechariah also brings challenge. And what struck me was this. As I was thinking, I just felt the Lord saying, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage Harefield this morning. And so I believe this is a word of encouragement to us. But also it's a word of challenge. And this is what I felt Lord say. It's not just what we do. It's how we do. Let me say that again and put emphasis. I'm not saying it's not just what we do, it's how we do. I'm saying it's not just what we do, it's also how we do. And it's those two things coming together that I believe God uses and pours out his Spirit upon. When our heart is right, let's come back to the story. If you look again at verse 1, the first part of verse 1, what does it say? Then the angel showed me Jeshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. What do we see? He's standing there before God. Jeshua has come into the presence of the Almighty God, and he is performing his function. He is being high priest. He's standing there. He's representing Israel. He is doing. He's there in front of God. But, jump on to verses 2 and 3, the end of verse 2 and the beginning of verse 3. We'll come back, we'll look at the whole bit in a minute, but let's look at these two. Verses 2 and 3, it says this. The end of verse 2 says, this man is like a burning stick, or a smoldering flax, a branch or whatever, like a burning stick that is snatched from the fire. Jeshua's clothes were filthy as he stood there before the angel. The high priest should have been spotless when he entered into the presence of God. If you go back and have a look at Exodus and Leviticus, and you look to see what was laid down within the law, and there was all these things he had to be this, that, and the other. He had to go through this cleansing and that cleansing, and he even had a cord tied to his leg so that if he died in the presence of God, those on the outside could pull him out. That's how serious it was. I am so grateful that we don't have that today. Because there'd be a rope going right the way out there just in case I fell down dead while we were preaching. And yet, what do we see? What do we see? His clothes were filthy. Here's another one. Strong's says of that word filthy, it says soiled. And I love this word, and I'm not sure if it's one that Strong's made up, but soiled as if excrementatious. That's a word to say in a hurry when you're feeling tired. Soiled as if, basically, this is the picture I thought when I first started reading this. I thought, there's Yeshua, he's like a brand snatched from the fire, his clothes are a bit singed and burnt, they're filthy because he's been pulled out of the fire and he's standing there before God. No. He's saying, there's Yeshua, he's been pulled out of the fire, his bows are a bit burnt and holes and all sorts, and he's covered in poo. What does that remind you of? There's another picture, another scripture, isn't there? Isaiah 64. Our righteousness is as, and I won't explain what that one means, and it's, but it's very much the same. And Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He was standing before God, he was doing, but he was unrighteous. Let's go back and read the whole passage as a whole now. Then the angel showed me Yeshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and the accuser Satan was standing there at the angel's right hand, making accusations against Yeshua. And the Lord said to Satan, I, the Lord, reject your accusation, Satan. I reject your accusation. Could you see him? No way. Yes, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebukes you. This man is like a burning stick that has been snatched from the fire. Yeshua's clothes were filthy as he stood there before the angel. So the angel said to the others standing there, take off his filthy clothes. And turning to Yeshua, he said, "See, I have taken away your sin, and now I'm giving you fine new clothes." What a beautiful, beautiful picture. What an absolutely amazing picture. What we've talked about is somebody who works down the sewers, coming up, walking into this church, and then us going and getting clean clothes for him, and putting a new turban on his head, and letting him wash up, and then putting him on the stage, and then saying, so what have you got to say to us? That is restoration. But it was God doing the restoration. It was God doing the restoration. What a beautiful story, not just of restoration, but of God's grace. It speaks of God's grace. God makes us worthy to stand in his presence. God is the one who enables us to serve him. God is the one who has been upon Barry and Louise's life from the day that they stepped into this. They didn't feel worthy. Barry didn't feel worthy. I know he didn't. I've spoken to him. I don't feel worthy. But by the grace of God, we can fulfill his plans and purposes. Why am I saying that? Not because I want to point us out as if we're something big. And sorry, the guys on, I just realized I'm walking around and the guys on the video are sort of losing me from time to time, so I apologize. But it's not just about that. What I want to try and say is that God wants to do exactly the same thing with every single one of us in this room. Every single one of us, God wants to pour out his restoration and his grace to such an extent that we can fulfill all that God has in plan for us. And yes, I happen to be really good with computers. And part of my gifting is to do that. And part of what I do comes out of my nature and who I am and the things I love. But God, in His grace and mercy, and the wonderful thing about God is God takes all of that and He uses it for His glory. And that is the promise to every single one of us in this room this morning. No matter what gifts you think or don't think you have, God has an anointing and a job and a work for you that is perfect for who you are. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, it matters what God thinks. It's not just what we do, it's how we do it. Why does God restore? This is part of the series God's Reboot, and I can remember when John first mentioned this, something went ping in my mind. I just thought, whoa, yes, that's a good one. I love that. And as we started talking about it, and we were in a meeting, we were just sort of talking about the whole idea of this particular series reboot, I just got something. I just sensed God wanted to say something to us. And I think God has been speaking to us through this. That doesn't mean He's not been speaking to us through the other series. I think we've had a real extended period of God just ministering to us and speaking in, and it's just been just amazing to see, even through COVID, through the lockdown, just how God spoke into different things and has been through that series, the series that we did. And this particular one is God's Reboot. And as I was just thinking about what I was preaching, I just felt this. I felt God is rebooting us. God is rebooting us. What do I mean? Well, I'm a techie guy, and I know a little bit about computers. And one of the things that is a good thing to do is regularly, every now and again, to reboot your computer. Why? Because we get so used to using it. And I can remember the days before we had sleep mode and hibernate mode on our computers, when we had to shut the things right down, and I had to turn off everything in the right order, because if I didn't, I could blow something in the computer. And then we just had to wait. And I can remember in the early days of Windows, you'd start the thing up and then waiting for the computer to boot up. And then finally the screen comes up and you're still waiting because nothing works. And then eventually Windows decides, okay, I'm going to let you work now. That's okay. And it's taken about 5 minutes to get there. Maybe I'm over-egging it a little bit. And so when we got hibernate and sleep function on our computers, we just shut the lid and we put it to one side, and then we come back and pop it open and everything's sitting there waiting for us to go again. Do you know what the problem with that is? It never really cleans things up properly. It is good to do a reboot on a computer every now and again. Now, a reboot is something very different to a reset, because a reset you do because something's gone wrong. And very often in a reset, you will lose something. But with a reboot, which is a normal thing, you shouldn't. Now, why am I saying this? Because I believe that's what God's doing with us. We've just been through COVID, haven't we? I mean, everybody has, okay? I know it's not just us, but we've just been through COVID. I believe that's part of God doing a reboot in our lives. Yeah, that's right, exactly. It was that bad. It is part of God doing a reboot in our lives, giving us an opportunity not just to change everything because it's all gone horribly wrong and so we've got to reset the whole thing, but to shut down, clear the clutter, fire up again, and build on what's already been done. And I believe that's what God is saying. I believe that's why we're on this sermon, on this series, because I believe what God is saying to us as a church, I am rebooting you. And when we go through that, when we go to a reboot, what happens at the end of the reboot? The computer is restored. Okay, I know I'm stretching it a bit, but I think that's, for me, that meant something. And I believe that's what God's doing with us as a church. And so as we've been through COVID, we are seeing things changing. Today, things are changing. It's part of God rebooting us and restoring us and taking us on, and I'll use that word that I used with Barry earlier, into an adventure with Him in the coming season. And I really feel that. I really feel that's why. A reboot always ends in restoration. Why is God rebooting us? I believe because He wants to restore us. God restores because He loves us. God restored me because He loves me. Not because of anything I did or could do, just purely because He loves me. God restored you when you met God. When God came into your life and your life changed. When you gave God your life. When you gave Him the right to tell you how and what and when and where. Let me just say, if you've never really done that, see one of the leaders after the meeting. Let us pray with you, because it's life-changing. But it's also an amazing journey. But if you have done that, then God has restored you. God restores because He loves the lost. I mean, the scripture I put down for God restores because He loves us, 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord isn't really being slow about His promises, as some people think. No, He is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants all to repent. God restores because He loves us. John 3:16. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that anyone who believes in should not perish but have eternal life. And this is the other one that I thought was a real something for us. If you look at verse 8 in the passage that we just read, you'll see there it says this: "Listen to me, O Joshua." And this is one of the I love this little verse. "Listen to me, O Joshua, the high priest, and tell and all you other priests, you are symbols of things to come." God restores us because we are to be an example. Harefield is to be an example. Mark is to be an example. David is to be an example. Gary is to be an example. I'm not going to go around the whole church, but you get the point. John, you're to be an example as well, by the way. Are we being an example? I believe we are. I don't think this isn't a word of condemnation. This is a word of encouragement. But we need to remember it. God restores so we can be an example. And finally, God restores so that we can be tools in His hands. And verse 10, and it's another little gem in this story, and I love it. Verse 10, "On that day, says the Lord of heaven, of heaven's armies, each of you will invite your neighbor to sit with you peacefully in the garden and have a barbecue and talk about the work of God in your life. Each of you will invite your neighbor to sit with you peacefully under your own grapevine and fig tree." It's not a lot of difference there, is there? I just sense God saying, "I'm restoring you, I'm restoring Harefield, because I want to work with you. I want you to be tools in my hand. I want you to sit with your neighbors, to come and sit with us." Evangelism. Evangelism is like a rainbow of colors. It is so many different ways. There are so many. Every single person in this room has a different way of doing evangelism, because all of you are different. And all of it is what God wants, because the world is made up of different people. And I just feel that God is telling us, I just felt this. God is saying, "I want you just to be tools in my hand. Just to sit with the people around you. Have a cup of tea. Do whatever. Have a barbecue. And expose them to what I've done in your life." You don't have to preach at them. Just expose them to what God's done in your life. And then finally, this is my finally on this. What is our response? You know, if we look through the Bible, and we look through from Genesis through to Revelation, what we see there is a story of God working restoration. In Genesis, right at the beginning of the Bible, we see the beginning of the promise. When it's talking about the snake and the serpent and crushing heads and bruising heels and all the rest of it, there is a promise in there. The promise is there from the beginning of restoration. God has seen what man has done through Adam and Eve, and the promise of restoration is there. And then we come Israel. And what do we see in Israel? Through those years walking through the desert, through the years between when Moses went and when Jesus came, if you like, through that block, what do we see? We see God's examples of restoration. That's what the passage we read this morning was about. It was God speaking to his people. He'd restored them to Israel. He'd restored them to Jerusalem, and God was speaking to them. We see examples. Jesus on the cross, what do we see there? We see the act of restoration. We see God himself coming down and making himself take on the sin of the world, the sin of you and me, taking it in himself, the perfect one. It's like me jumping into a sewage ditch with my mouth open. It's worse than that, because God was absolutely holy and perfect. And he, through Jesus Christ, came and he acted out restoration for us on the cross. And then we see the resurrection. Oh, glory, we see the resurrection. We see the resurrection, and we see that veil torn from the top. That is God. It is the result of restoration. I was trying to look at my next word. It is the result of restoration. The veil is torn. The opportunity for us to stand in the presence of a holy God and not be consumed. And then finally, Revelation, the fulfillment of restoration. And we shall be with him in glory forever. Church, how can we not share? How can we not sit with our neighbours under our fig tree, by our vine, or in the garden with a barbecue, or going out for a coffee at Costa's or McDonald's or whatever, and just expose them to the work and the glory and the wonder of what God's done in our life? Sometimes we get so screwed up about evangelism. I know, because I've done it. And God just wants us to step out. I believe that's what God has called us to. I believe that's what God's doing in us at the moment. I believe that's the message that God's given me to say to you guys. The tag that I put at the top of my preach, just in case everything went horribly wrong and all I could say was one thing, was simply this. All we have been through is God rebooting us and restoring us so that he can use us to restore others. That's the message to us, I believe, this morning that God has for us. I'm going to ask the worship group to come up. And we're going to sing a song in the last part of worship. And I want to ask you, church, I know I'm Pentecostal and I'm nutty and I do all sorts of strange things and I can be a bit weird at times, but I'm going to ask you to do something this morning during this song. Seriously. If you're up for God to restore you so that you can restore others, if you're up for God to use you, if you want God to take hold of you, and you want God to take hold of us, then as we sing this song, I want you just to raise your hand, even if it's not something you normally do. And what you're doing is you're making a statement to yourself and to the Lord that I'm serious about this. And if you want prayer, there'll be opportunity to be prayed for afterwards as well. Come forward and we can have prayer for you. Thank you.